Hello, everybody, and welcome into episode number 402 of the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Allie.
Yes, Allie, you're here. Who do you have with you? Because you have some new guests. This is like the most, I would say people, but that would be a lie. So most beings that we've had on the We Don't Know Either podcast. So introduce us to your friends.
Absolutely. Well, this week I am joined by Midge Maisel and Elle Woods, my two fluffy cats. They are my feline co-hosts. And if I have been your virtual trivia host in the past couple of months, you have had the wonderful pleasure of meeting them. So they're here. They're going to help me out with some fun facts for y'all.
Cool. Are your facts cat related?
They are not. I figured that might be a cat overload.
Hey, you might say it would be a catastrophe.
Oh, you beat me to it.
Oh man, I love it. Okay, well, Allie, you just talked for a minute, so I'm going to throw it over to Michael now to kick us off for his fact.
Okay, let's act like I was ready for this. So for those that don't know, I'm currently in California, just kind of waiting everything out. One of the things we don't have a lot of in California is rain.
Okay. Water in general, really.
I mean, I got the
fresh water.
The pool.
Fresh water in general.
I got the pool.
Okay.
But yes, I do the podcast poolside. Jokes aside, I was looking into just kind of different things and just trying to come up with an interesting fact. And one of the things that caught me by surprise is the speed of a raindrop. Because I love stats, I love the numbers. So my question is, what is the average speed of a raindrop?
So when you say average, I have follow-up questions because I always do.
Sure.
Are we talking about its velocity as it hits the ground, or it's like average speed starting at when it leaves the cloud to when it hits the ground?
So it's its terminal velocity for a typical raindrop.
So the fastest speed it can reach.
Right.
So, okay, Allie, remind me about the formula to reach terminal velocity. It's mass related, yes?
I think okay, not a physics major. I studied history, but I know gravity is 9.8 meters per second, right?
Per second.
Yeah, that sounds
meters
right.
per second.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you're going to want to factor mass into that and then add time.
Right.
So I think
right.
it might be like 9.8. Well, you got to get to the meters per second again. So you're going to want to multiply in some time there, some distance. So you're going to have to figure out how far the distance is from the cloud to the ground. How you do that math, I think, is completely up to you at this point because I have no clue how to do it. But those are the important factors that I would weigh in. Michael, am I on the right track here?
If it's helpful, I do have it in meters per second as well as miles per hour.
So super helpful.
Miles.
Yeah.
As soon as you said meters, I was like, okay, I'm out, you know?
All right. So we're starting to identify variables here. We have mass. I came up with mass. Allie provided gravity. Lindsay, what are you throwing at us? Give us a variable.
Wetness, moistness.
Moistness
Wait,
of the object.
That's mass.
No. So like you're.
Yeah, it's the mass, right, of the water drop, you know, and also the fluidity of it. You know, if it's more liquid, it might move through the air faster, right? That seems
Ooh.
Like a thing.
Oh, there's like a coefficient. Yeah, coefficient of moving against the air.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Drag. Yeah. Drag is a thing.
Drag is a thing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So Lindsay's thrown out drag. So what do we think that formula looks like? Mass has got to be M, right? Gravity is G.
Slow down. That's way too complex for my math skills.
Okay. All right. So working out this formula through the full mathematic process that we have worked out, I don't think this number is right. So I'm going to throw that out. I'm going to go with, I know the terminal velocity of a human being is 120 miles an hour, give or take.
Of course you do, Nick.
Why do you know that?
How do people not know that? That's just a thing that people know, isn't it?
No.
No.
Been watching a lot of CSI there, Nick.
A Point Break.
But Oh, Point Break. That would
So yeah, human terminal velocity is 120. So I got to think a tiny raindrop would be less than that. It doesn't have as much mass. But how much less? Like when a big raindrop hits you, it hurts.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. If it's coming down hard, okay, I got to stop where I was going with that sentence because that it's was raining, inappropriate.
It could be raining midges and L's and you don't know.
That would be a fantastic day, Nick, to just have cats flying out of the air, especially if they looked like Midge and L. Okay. Don't worry, we'll post a picture of them on the Instagram page.
I bet you the terminal velocity of those would be higher.
Yeah, higher than the raindrop. Sorry. If there is an animal that I want to rain from the sky, it is definitely not a cat. Those
are we
are
getting back to what animal would we drop out of a plane?
That's like a 2-year-old callback. At this point.
I was going to say.
You guys, every year we go back to it. We're doing that thing where we delay our guesses with our procrastinating guessing, right? So yep. We got to lock it in a mile per hour here. I think that Usain Bolt could outrun a raindrop. Or no, he couldn't outrun a raindrop. So I think it's over, 25 miles per hour that it's dropping. So I'm going to go with a solid 50 miles per hour. Feel good about that.
Okay. So just slower than half as fast as a person falls.
Yes.
Okay.
Usain Bolt, it looks like he's been clocked in at 27.8 miles per hour.
27.8 miles per hour. Okay. So maybe I feel like rain is faster than that is okay. What I feel like Nick's trying to say, but I don't know.
No. I think that's a decent guess.
I mean, a person would fall faster. They're heavier. But
yeah,
I,
no, that's is... what I'm saying. More mass. The gravity is the same in the equation. The coefficient mm-hmm. of drag is the same in the equation. The only thing that's different in the equation is the mass of the object, and I guess the surface area to an extent.
We need more science people on this podcast. Sorry for this liberal arts majors over here.
Regardless of how the math works out, if you have however the formula is set up, if you have a lower mass and a lower drag coefficient, the end result will be lower. So it can't drop faster than a person.
Okay, well, I'm saying 50 then. I'm sticking with it. Allie, what's your guess?
I'm going to actually, I think, going back to my initial assumption, which was that weight plays into this, like, and in some way, and that a raindrop weighs less than a human, I'm going to say it's
supposedly.
Like 10.
10.
I'm going to go with 10 miles per hour.
10 miles per hour. Okay.
Whoa. So right. Very much on the low end. Yeah.
So what did you say, Lindsay? 50?
50. Yeah.
And 10.
Don't do it, Nick.
Halfway in between is 35. That's a very enticing
number. Oh, I knew you were
going
to do it.
but I'm going to go lower. I'm going to say 30 miles an hour.
Okay, 30 miles an hour. So it actually comes into about 20 miles an hour, or about 9 meters per second. So like when you guys dropped in the 9.8 meters per second for gravity, I was like, oh, this could be quick.
I mean, I think it was pretty obvious we knew what we were talking about. Anybody listening to this podcast could realize that we knew exactly what we were doing.
I have to admit, I do come in with this fact with an ulterior motive. It is so enjoyable for me to watch you guys do math. that is why I brought this in. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun. It's going to be 5 minutes of them trying to do math, and it's going to be great.
Okay, wait. So it is slower than Usain Bolt. So Usain Bolt could outrun a
falling raindrop.
Raindrop. Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Cool. I don't know. I mean, I feel like
at terminal velocity. I mean, I'm assuming there's a little bit of a catch-up period where when it first drops, it's a little slower and then gets to terminal velocity.
Yeah, I feel like this is some sort of like horizontal, like gravity induced vacuum shoot and is a show on the Discovery Channel for like, I don't know, a May thing or something.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Sweeps week. It's right after Shark Week. It's falling rain week.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Okay. Who's got a segue from Michael's raindrop mile per hour fact? Anybody?
Okay, so falling rain very fast. Mm-hmm, right. Mm-hmm. Somebody else who's very fast is Tyreek Hill. Are you familiar with Tyreek Hill?
Mm-hmm. I'm very familiar with Tyreek Hill. He's on my fantasy team this week and I'm thrilled.
Super
he's playing
fast.
Against me this week, so I'm not thrilled.
No, not at all.
I'm so sorry.
Tyreek Hill had a great week recently, as far as having over 200 yards receiving in the first quarter of the game. Who holds the record? Well, I'll give it to you two ways. Who has the record for most receiving yards in a single NFL game, and how many yards is it?
Jerry Rice.
That is a great guess.
But it's a solid guess. I know this fact came up when I was watching Red Zone earlier today.
Yeah.
So,
by the way, Rice, Lindsay, ranks ninth all time. He has the ninth most yards in a game all time.
Yeah, but I feel like Jerry Rice is the, you know, Taft of receiver questions. You know,
correct.
Like if it's a question about a wide receiver in the NFL, it's going to be Jerry Rice. If it's a question about a U.S. president, it's probably going to be Taft. And I'm going to, you know, I'm going to say that I am assuming that I'm wrong here just based on your initial reactions to my guess. So
yes.
I'll think of another receiver.
Yeah. No, that's very good. And just as long as we're on football trivia, I'm going to just throw out the single greatest trivia fact that I heard in a long time. Last week, Baker Mayfield ended up winning a game for the Browns. Baker Mayfield, by winning that game, became the winningest quarterback at Brown Stadium, at the stadium they play in the history of that stadium. He supplanted Ben Roethlisberger, who has never played a single down for the Browns.
Whoa. Correct me if I'm wrong. Baker Mayfield might be the first Browns quarterback to hold this record.
It's probably true. Probably true, because they've only been there for what, like 20 something years?
Maybe 15. I don't think it's been. I think it was after 2000. It was to maybe 2005. Because I want to say it was when the Texans came in.
I've gotten to the point where I realized that things that I thought happened 5 years ago really happened 15 or 20 years ago. So I stopped trying. Right? Like, there was no Thursday night game this Thanksgiving, which made me really sad. And I'm like, eh. You know, 5 years ago, there was no Thursday night game. Nope, 2005. There's been a Thursday night game on Thanksgiving since 2005. That's not my question. My question, how many yards? Lindsay, you can pick the player. You can pick the yards. Either one will be an acceptable answer.
Okay, wait. Can you tell me Jerry Jones, you said, is wrong, right?
Jerry Rice is wrong. Jerry Jones.
Jerry Jones would be very wrong.
Yeah.
Sorry. Jerry Rice. Jerry Jones.
Jerry Rice's highest number of receiving yards comes in at ninth all time.
Okay, sorry. Okay, my next guess for the person is Calvin Johnson.
Calvin Johnson, number two.
Okay.
Guess.
Dancing around it. Okay, were we alive when this player played?
Define we, Lindsay.
At least some of you, yes.
That's right.
Some of you meaning...
I definitely was. I'm not sure how old Allie is. And I'm pretty sure the two of you were alive.
Okay, well, Allie's got two cats, so we know she's 48.
Can I clock in a guess on yardage?
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with 425. It's one game, right?
One game, single game, yeah.
All right, I think it's going to be over the number of yards that Patty Mahomes can throw. So I'm going to go with 425 as a guess there.
425. Is that the number of yards he can throw on a single throw? Because he's got an arm.
He threw 460 today, I want to say.
So 425. So Lindsay has guessed Jerry Rice and Calvin Johnson. Allie is guessing 425. Michael, where are you coming in?
So I remember hearing this stat earlier. I think I can pull the yardage, but I don't think I can pull the person.
Okay.
So if memory serves, the yardage was like 336.
336 is correct. 336 yards in one game. The game was the Los Angeles Rams versus the New Orleans Saints on November 26th, 1989.
Year of Taylor Swift's birth. I was not alive either.
I was one day old.
You know, I was there.
Yep. So yeah, when I said whether or not you were alive, I was pretty sure Michael was about 3 months old and Lindsay had been born the day before this game was played.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, that's why Lindsay doesn't know. Lindsay's parents were busy doing other things that day.
That day. Exactly. Mm. Exactly. The wide receiver's name was Willie Anderson. He went by a nickname Flipper.
Oh, that's okay. It.
He had a couple of really great seasons in the late 80s. This was the season and the game specifically where he really broke out and became sort of a name wide receiver in the league for a couple of years. So,
okay, Flipper,
but that's
great nickname.
Oh, yeah. And that was, it was given to him as a child because as a baby, he sounded like a dolphin. So his family called him Flipper. So, yeah. Couple of other names at and near the top 10. Julio Jones had 300 yards. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Smith, I don't know if you guys remember him around the turn of the century, had 291 yards. Jerry Rice, of course, 289. Lindsey comes in at 9 overall. Antonio Brown had 284 yards in 2015. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And then Terrell Owens, Andre Johnson, Lee Evans, Josh Gordon, Chad Johnson, all those guys were in there.
Okay, super Julio weird Jones, that you... Super weird that you didn't mention James Thrash of the early 2000 Eagles. I mean, how could you miss out on him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, he had such a good game that one half.
Okay,
I didn't go through the Chargers. Like, during that time, it was the Ryan Leaf era, so. Or that was the early 90s, I guess.
Okay, so 336 for Flipper. Cool. Not Jerry Jones, as I misspoke, but we have clarified. We know that. Quick question, follow-up question. We only have 30 seconds to discuss this. If Jerry Jones were to enter an NFL game, would he be able to complete a pass? Like, we're not, would he be able to catch a pass, I should say?
No, he'd get stuffed at the line and probably die.
I think he could catch a pass. You're putting him in a wide receiver. You're putting him in a quarterback.
Yeah.
If he played quarterback for Denver, I mean, they called him. They asked him. He passed. But
I almost didn't make the podcast because they called me to play quarterback today.
I know. It was real bad. So, but no, I don't think an 85-year-old man could run a route on a field, on an NFL field at full speed.
Yeah. Not even a bubble screen. I agree with that.
I don't think so.
I agree, but I wanted to ask the question.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah, that's what I'm kind of more so. Like, I would watch the heck out of that. Okay, mm-hmm. So we need to segue into our next thing. Allie, do you have a segue from football into your fact, or do I need to grasp at straws like I normally do?
I think I might be able to do one. So we were talking about numbers, and so mine has to do with the number. I'm going to ask you for a number. It also has to do with greatness and an elite list. So my question is, how many presidents of the United States have won Nobel Peace Prizes?
Ooh, an excellent question. And also number themes across the board today from Michael, Allie's, and Nick's fact. Mine is not number related, so sorry to break the chain there. But okay, no presidents with Nobel Peace Prizes. We know we got Teddy Roosevelt.
Yep.
Sure.
Nobel Peace Prize right there. What other presidents do we know, folks?
Michael threw out Obama. I know. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's two. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure Jimmy Carter had one in the 70s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When was the first Peace Prize awarded? It was like turn of the 20th century, right?
1901.
Yes. Right there.
Okay. So we know the number is less than 45.
Correct. I mean, Roosevelt was president number what? 30? 31?
Roughly.
Something like that. 28? So I think it was like 30. I don't know, whatever. So yeah, it's less than 15, because if Roosevelt was 31, Roosevelt was president in 1901, so he would have been the first one that had the opportunity to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So we've just cut it from 45 down to 15. We're doing well.
Teddy Roosevelt was Joey would be so mad at me. Teddy Roosevelt was 26th.
You're 26th?
Yeah, because it's okay. On the back of his jersey. Joey would have been very, very angry because the racing presidents, the Washington Nationals, they have their numbers on the back of the jersey. George has a 1. Jefferson has a 3. Teddy is 26. That image of Teddy is ingrained in my brain. And Joey was on a Topps card. So that's like the greatest day of his life that he's on a Topps card with Teddy. So I digress. Okay, so I think
all right, so 26. So it's 1 in 19. Or it's
a clarification question.
Yeah.
Is this does this include presidents that may have gotten any prizes after they left office, or is it specific?
It does. Once a U.S. president, always a U.S. president.
Okay.
They could have gotten it after they left office.
That doesn't help me at all. I'm just hoping to ask enough questions to make me feel smart.
All right. I think that it's not that many. I think I'm going to go with like 5, and I feel good about the 5 number.
All right. Lindsay clocking in at 5.
Yeah. And then you got Nick. Teddy. Wait, hang on. You got Teddy, Jimmy Carter, Obama, FDR. And then I'm assuming there's somebody that I am forgetting about as the 5th. So locking it in.
So Carter was president in the 70s, but I'm pretty sure he won his Peace Prize later for like all of the Habitat for Humanity stuff that he did.
Yeah.
Good to know my question.
So you're guessing 5. Who are you throwing in there?
Who's my 5th spot, you're saying?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just feel like there's somebody I'm missing, or some weird one. Like maybe Wilson got one for like the 14 points or something. Like Woodrow Wilson, I wouldn't be surprised if he won one. Okay. But I don't know that for sure. So.
Yeah, I mean, we've pretty much been at war since Wilson. So it's kind of hard to give peace prizes to wartime presidents. Yeah, all right.
I don't know. Obama was in the middle of 2 wars.
Sure. No, not impossible, just harder.
What is technically a war anymore? Does anybody really know?
Well, the U.S. Fun fact. Go ahead, Allie.
No, this is sarcastic, just for the people at home. Very sarcastic on my end.
Ask a history and a political science major that question. I definitely have an answer for you. Yeah.
Right. The U.S. has not officially declared war since.
Yeah.
Oh, give me a second. I'm going to say is.
World War II.
I'm trying to remember if Korea we declared war.
I do not believe.
I don't believe so. I think it was a police action.
Yeah. And also, I don't think it's over. I don't think it's officially like ended.
Still have troops there as far as I know.
All right. Yeah. We're avoiding the question now. How many?
That's what we do when we don't know the answer.
One.
All right. So Lindsay said 5. I'm going 4.
I'm going to go 6. I don't know if I'm throwing one more name in there, I'd say maybe Clinton off of the Clinton Global Initiative stuff. But I don't think he's won one.
Excellent guesses. Nick is correct. It is 4. FDR did not get a peace prize, but Woodrow Wilson did. So it's Teddy Roosevelt, Woodrow Wilson, Jimmy Carter. He did win it in 2002, and Barack Obama. So those are the 4 presidents who have received Nobel Peace Prizes.
And I think Al Gore won one for climate change, didn't he? Or for trying to be a climate change person. But he wasn't president.
Yeah.
I was going to say that was a different title there. I was feeling good about I would have bet some money that FDR had won a peace prize. I mean, I guess he was president during, a major war. So I guess that would make sense, but so was Wilson. So that's my bad, but.
A lot of Americans, so he passed away, which is probably why he didn't win one, but a bunch of people who did Reconstruction following World War II did win Nobel Peace Prizes. So it's a good fun fact about Americans winning.
Right. Rebuilding after everything gets torn down. Makes sense.
Yeah. Also, the U.S., we are confirmed that the declared war was World War II, and just by timelines, it was June 5th. Bulgaria, Hungary, Romania, the last time the U.S. declared war on a country specifically. So
damn Hungarians.
Yeah. So speaking of Hungary, Thanksgiving was just last week, right?
Wow, that was a stretch even for you, Lindsay.
No, I mean,
excellent. Well executed, Lindsay. I'll support you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I also appreciate you getting the guys back on track, because usually that falls on me. So I appreciate you sharing my burden. So Hungary, and we're going to Thanksgiving. I could have also said we talked about presidents, and my fact is about a president, but I just felt that was lame. I felt the Hungary was there for the taking.
Might as well take it. Yeah.
So, it's a big tradition at the White House for the president to pardon a turkey. And that's a whole big thing. And they have a whole kit and caboodle shebang about it. And I was curious as to who was the first president to officially pardon a turkey.
Taft.
And so this.
I got it in. I got it in first.
You are correct. It is Taft.
Is it really? No. I was just trying to answer before I knew Michael was going there.
No, it is not Taft, Nick. I'm sorry. Oh. I honestly wish that it was. And I know that we're breaking our own rule by not having Taft be the answer here, but no, not Taft. So this is an official pardon. And this is according to both the Constitution Center and the White House, confirmed with two sources, because let me tell you, there's been a lot of controversy as to what counts for an official turkey pardon.
I thought we weren't supposed to be getting political on this podcast.
Yeah, that's true. My apologies.
All right. So if it's not Taft, it could be anybody, really.
Yeah.
All right. So pre-Taft or post-Taft, which way are we going?
You don't have to go all together. You're not necessarily a team here, people.
I like playing as a team because I have no idea on my own. I'm hoping one of them knows and I can glom on to the winning team.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
Well, you already took my answer, so.
Yeah, but it was wrong. So
yeah, it was wrong. Okay. Now, so here's kind of my thinking on it. Is this necessarily something that would have come because of either radio or television? Or is this like one of the funny newspaper things? You know what I mean? Like, it's like, oh, we're going to do this because now we can put the president on the radio or on camera.
Oh, like a reason to put them on there. You know what?
Exactly.
What was
the reason for the first pardon?
Because
I don't think it was a federal crime that a turkey committed.
That's an excellent, excellent question. I mean, there was the turkey massacres of the late 1920s.
Sure.
Right. But we already decided it's not Taft. So,
right.
So what is the inciting incident of the turkey pardon? Is it,
declare war on a turkey?
Yeah. I don't think it was the rise of television or radio.
Okay.
I don't think it's like a press opportunity. You did, however, get me down the path of, thinking what would be the impetus of this, and PETA. When you have the rise of like animal cruelty and Sarah McLachlan songs, and the idea of just $1 a day or however much it costs, you can, buy a new sweater for a turkey or something. That would be something where, okay, a government agency can do a thing that recognizes PETA without actually like committing to
anything meaningful.
Yeah, that seems symbolism. Like a very political thing to do. Yeah.
Symbolism, thank you. Okay,
I need some guesses, guys. I need some guesses here. I need some names.
Carter.
All right, Carter again coming up. Michael, who you got?
I'm thinking earlier. I'm thinking. For me, it almost feels like it has to be tied to some sort of press. And if Nick doesn't think it's tied to radio or television, I'll say like mass production of newspapers. So turn of the century.
Allie, jump in and take his guess.
Yeah. One of my friends sent me one of those great videos on Instagram about the 2018 controversial pardoning of the turkey. And I went down a long rabbit hole. So thank you, Madeline, for that, of looking up who it could possibly be. And I believe the first unofficial one was Lincoln, wasn't it?
Seems like a Lincoln
unofficial
thing to do.
I mean, he didn't officially like pardon it, but he was like, I want to spare some turkeys, and Clinton actually like referenced him in a lot of speeches, which is why I had to check with two sources, because Clinton was like, oh, Lincoln pardoned it, but Lincoln didn't technically pardon it. So
yeah, and then like I know there was this big thing about Reagan making a stink of it, and then HW got in. And that is like as far down the rabbit hole as I went. Because I was like, this is ridiculous.
So wait, Allie just named four presidents. Are you claiming all of them?
Yeah,
but they all have different
degrees of pardoning. I'm going to say Abe Lincoln for the unofficial pardon. And then I believe, I don't remember who it was that like actually issued an official pardon, but as I'm from Illinois, I'm claiming the land of Lincoln here, and I'm standing by. Abe Lincoln is doing the right thing.
Okay.
Oh man. Okay. Well, if she's
going to claim Illinois for Lincoln, then I will say throw out all of my logic previously, and I'll say Reagan.
Okay. So by timing, Michael, you are the closest with Reagan. He actually used and joke about turkey pardon to dodge some questions over the Iran-Contra affair. So like people kept asking about like, hey, you gonna pardon Oliver North? And he was like, oh, pardon this turkey. And he like made some jokes about it, but it wasn't an official pardon within the White House official. Like this is a big event that we're pardoning this turkey. So
they didn't fill out the paperwork.
Yeah, exactly. So it was George H.W. Bush that first granted the official pardon. I thought that this tradition was going back for way, way, way longer, but Eisenhower, they started receiving birds in like the 40s from like the turkey federations and the turkey lobby and the poultry farmers. So like Eisenhower received birds, Truman received birds. It was this whole big thing. John F. Kennedy spared like 3 or 4 days before his assassination in November. He also spared a bird, but didn't give it an official pardon. The turkey was wearing a sign that said, "Good eating, Mr. President." So 3 days before he was assassinated, he like saved that bird.
Good eating, Mr. President, your secret phrase.
Oh, perfect. Yes. Good eating, Mr. President, your secret phrase. Only a week behind Thanksgiving. But yeah, 1989, George H.W. Bush, turkey pardon official, and turkeys across the United States celebrated. So there you have it.
I always just think of that great West Wing episode where CJ Craig has two turkeys in her office.
In her office, yeah.
And she has to decide which one is more photogenic so that President Bartlett can pardon a turkey.
Right. And then the other one has to die.
Yeah.
So she tries to buy it.
Yeah.
They used to send them to Mount Vernon, right? Like the turkeys that live, they'd send them to Mount Vernon to go live. And then Mount Vernon was like, we can't do this because George Washington never actually had turkeys at Mount Vernon. So this is historically inaccurate. So they were like, nope, find a new place for these turkeys. So anyway,
send it to Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah.
There was a couple they sent to Disneyland.
Yep. They would be the Grand Masters in the Disney World Parade and the Disneyland Parades. And they would like be the masters of the Grand Masters. But I'm sorry, we could gobble on forever. We got to end this podcast. We got to wrap it up. This has been the We Don't Know Either podcast. I'm Lindsay.
I'm Nick.
I'm Michael.
And I'm Allie.
Well, we don't know either. And I'm not sorry. Bye.
It should be sorry.